Title: Reverse Sampling for Transitions Masterclass for Old School DDNB Vibes Intermediate. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing reverse sampling for transitions, but not in the generic throw a riser on it way. This is the old school jungle and drum and bass approach, where the transition is built out of your own sounds, your break, your bass, your stabs, your vocals, your atmos. It's the difference between I added an effect and the track inhaled and pulled you into the drop. This is intermediate level, so I'm assuming you already have a groove happening, your drums are hitting clean, and you can navigate Ableton's audio clips, warp modes, and resampling without getting lost. Here's the big idea you're going to hear me repeat. Reverse transitions are all about endpoint first editing, timing, and frequency discipline. The end of the reverse is the important part, because that's what slams into the downbeat or the hit. Let's set the session up first. Set your tempo somewhere in the 160 to 174 range. I'll reference 170 because it's a nice middle ground. Make sure warp is on, and your drums are already aligned the way you want. Now, arrangement-wise, the most effective reverse transitions usually live one bar or two bars before a drop, a mid-switch, the exit of a breakdown, or a fill into a new phrase. So pick one target moment right now, find your drop, and place your playhead one bar before it. That's our playground. Now we're going to build a toolkit of four things: a reversed break suck into the drop, a reverse reverb inhale that ends on a hit, a reverse bass swell that sounds nasty but controlled, and a reversed pad or vocal lift for that jungle space. And then we'll glue them as one transition moment. Step 1. Reverse a break fill. This is old school gold. Go into your break and find a tasty fill. Ideally, it's something like the last half bar before a phrase turns over, maybe in a minish roll, maybe a quick snare rush, something with character. Once you've chosen it, select about half a bar or one bar of audio. Consolidate it so it becomes one clean clip. In Ableton, that's Command J or Control J. Then immediately duplicate the consolidated clip, because you always want to keep the original forward version safe. Open the duplicated clip and hit reverse in the clip view. Instantly, you'll hear that classic pull, but don't place it by guessing. Do endpoint first editing. Drag the reversed clip so the end of it lands exactly on beat one of the drop. Not close. Exactly. Zoom in if you have to. Now, warp settings. For break-based reverses, you usually want beats warp mode. Set preserve to transients. Then adjust the envelope. If you keep envelope lower, it'll be tighter and more punchy. If you raise it a bit, it smears more, which can actually reduce clicks and make the inhale smoother. This is a sneaky fix, to click at the source, not just with fades. If the reverse ends with what used to be a sharp transient, a slightly higher envelope on the reverse clip can stop it from snapping in an ugly way. Now give that reversed break a mini mix chain, because raw reverses can be messy. Put an EQ first. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz. Don't be precious about keeping lows in the reverse. In drum and bass, your drop impact is sacred, and low-end suction right before the drop can make the sub-entry feel weak. After EQ, add a saturator. Soft clip-on. Drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. You're not trying to destroy it. You're trying to make it sound intentional and a bit thicker. Optionally add drum bus with some drive, but keep boom subtle or even off for reverses. And if you're doing anything below the low mids, keep it mono or just keep it high pass and stop worrying about sub altogether. Cool, that's layer 1. Reverse break pull. Step 2, the classic reverse reverb into the hit. Mandatory for old school vibes. Pick a target sound that lands on the drop or right before it. This could be a snare, a crash, a vocal shout like rewind or selecta, or even a stab chord. The key is that it's a clearly defined moment. Duplicate that hit to a new audio track and name it something like REV or VRB, so you don't forget what's going on that track, and a big reverb after the audio. Hybrid reverb or the stock reverb is fine. Set a large space. Decay somewhere around 3 to 8 seconds. Pre-delay low, like 0 to 10 milliseconds. High cut down to maybe 6 to 10 kHz so it doesn't get fizzy. Low cut up around 200 to 600 Hz so it doesn't fog up the low mids. And here's the crucial setting. Wet at 100%. We want only the reverb. No dry hit in the printed tail. Now we resample it. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm it. Record 1 to 4 bars, depending on how long your tail is. You only need enough to get a clean swell. After recording, consolidate the recorded reverb tail into a single clip. Reverse that clip. Then place it before the original hit, again using endpoint first editing. The end of the reverse tail should land exactly on the hit. When you press play, it should feel like the track breathes in, Then the hit lands like a door slam. Now glue them together. Put the reverse tail and the hit through a group. On that group, high pass again, maybe 150 to 250 HC. Then a glue compressor, gentle, ratio 2 to 1, attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto and aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This isn't for loudness, it's for making the tail and the hit feel like one event. If you want extra old hardware grit, use Redux very subtly. A little downsample, like 2 to 4 times, and keep dry wet low, like 5 to 15%. The goal is sampler flavor, not pain. Quick coach note. If your reversed reverb and pad layers start going super wide, do a mid-side sanity check. Put EQ8 on the transition group, switch to M/S mode, and high-pass the side channel around 250 to 500 HC. That keeps the inhale wide, but stops the stereo low mids from washing out your snare and bass. Step 3. Reverse bass swells. Rolling, dark, intentional. This one is fun, but it can wreck your mix if you let the low end run free. If your bass is MIDI, freeze it and flatten it so you're working with audio. Then grab a bass tab, anywhere from a quarter bar to a full bar. Consolidate, duplicate, reverse. Now, control chain. First, EQ. High pass gently around 30 to 50 HC. That's just to remove useless rumble. Then consider carving a little around 200 to 400 HC of the reverse bass swell. Is cloudy your snare crack. That zone gets crowded fast in DNB. Then add an auto filter for that opening up feeling. Use low pass and automate the cutoff over the length of the reverse. For example, start down at 300 to 800 HC and open up to 2 to 6 kHC right as it hits the drop. Add a touch of resonance, but don't whistle it. Add saturator for warmth and density, maybe 2 to 8 dB drive depending on how harmonically rich it already is. Now the big one. Sidechain compression. Sidechain it from the kick or the full drum bus, so it pumps out of the way. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 10 ms, release 50 to 120 ms, and aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the drums hit. The point is, the reverse bass swell should feel like it's being dragged forward by the drums, not sitting on top of them. Placement tip, put the reverse bass swell in the last half bar before the drop, but high pass it more aggressively if your sub is about to enter on beat 1. This is bass entry discipline. You want the sub to speak clean on the 1, with minimal competition. If you want an extra clean version of this, do a re-inhale without ruining the sub, duplicate your bass audio, and on the reverse version, remove everything below around 120 HE, then add chorus or a tiny frequency shifter movement. That gives you gnarl and motion rising in, while the real sub stays clean for the drop. Step 4. Reverse pads and atmospheres for jungle space. Grab a pad hit or bounce a chord stab to audio. Reverse it. Then stretch it in a way that sounds organic. Switch warp mode to texture, and play with grain size around 80 to 200 milliseconds, flux around 10 to 40. This is how you get that smeary, airy, time-stretched inhale that feels like classic tape and sampler behavior. Add motion. Auto pan is perfect, and not just for panning. If you set phase to 0 degrees, it becomes tremolo. Amount maybe 20 to 50%, rate at 1/8 or 1/4. Now the reverse pad pulses with a rhythm instead of floating like a random background wash. Mix control. High pass it around 200 to 400 HC. Pads should not steal low mids from breaks. And if it's too narrow, widen it with utility, maybe 120 to 160%. But keep the chord drums and bass centered. Wide inhaling atmosphere, centered punch. That's the vibe. Step 5. Make reverses speak with fades and envelopes. Reversed clips click because the transient is now at the end. So yes, use fades. In Live 11 and up, enable fades and put a very short fade in, like 2 to 10 milliseconds, and a fade out maybe 5 to 30 milliseconds. If there's still a spike right at the end into the hit, automate clip gain or utility gain down slightly right at the end. The goal is a clean inhale that doesn't do a weird digital snap into your drop. Now step 6. Build the transition as a layered moment. Think of this like a one-bar pre-drop stack. One bar before the drop, you might have the reverse break fill high pass around 150. The reverse reverb tail high passed higher, like 250 and wide. The reverse bass swell high passed anywhere from 60 to 120 depending on how clean you want the sub entry. And if you want an extra air layer, don't reach for generic white noise first. Build it from your own drums. Take a crash or noisy hat. Reverse it, high pass it hard, like 600 to 1k, and add a short room reverb, maybe half a second. Now it whooshes, but it's from your break world, so it glues automatically. On the drop itself, keep it simple and heavy. Impact hit, sub enters clean, brake resumes full weight. Workflow move that'll level you up. Group all transition layers into one group called transition. On that group, do gentle control processing. Maybe to high pass around 120 if needed, glue compressor for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, and a limiter just catching peaks with a ceiling around minus 0.8. You're not mastering here. You're just preventing random reverse peaks from stabbing the mix. Now, extra coach notes that really matter. First, negative space. A reverse feels bigger if you also carve space right before the drop. Try automating a gentle low pass on the drum bus over the last half bar, like 18 kHz down to 6 to 10 kHz. And you can even do a tiny overall dip, like minus 1 to minus 2 dB on the music group for the last quarter bar. Then release it instantly on the drop. It creates that pulled inward sensation, and suddenly your reverse layers feel twice as dramatic without being louder. Second, don't overlayer. You do not need 5 reverses and 3 risers. Pick 2 or 3 strong layers max, and make them feel like one event. In old school DDNB, clarity is part of the aggression. Third, print a transition stem early. Once the timing feels right, resample the whole transition group into a single audio clip. This makes you brave. You'll start doing bold edits, tight EQ, clip gain moves, and micro timing adjustments because you're working with one object instead of 20 lanes. That's how pro arrangements get fast. Now, let's run a quick advanced validation you can try if you want extra rewind energy. Do call and response reverses over 2 bars. Bar minus 2, a reverse vocal or pad. Bar minus 1, the reverse break. And then right before the snare, beat 4 of bar minus 1. Add a tiny, reversed cymbal or hat snippet. Very quiet. This creates a conversation leading into the drop, instead of everything shouting at once. Another variation. Fake acceleration into the drop. Duplicate your reversed clip a few times in a row, each one shorter, like half bar, then quarter, then eighth, and slightly louder each time. This audio version is shortened for playback.